He is so talented up in front of people, isn't he? Amen. Well, good morning, church. Here I am, little old me up here. Yay! Thank you. Well, I am truly blessed to be able to share a word with you that I believe the Lord gave me a few weeks ago. And so I thought, well, that's great. That's a great word. I'll share that in Puerto Rico when I go in April. And then, lo and behold, here I am going to share the word. So it must be for you too. Lucky you today. Yes. Before Dr. Iverna spoke a couple of weeks ago, the Lord gave me a title, Where Am I? And her title was, Where Are We Going? There's a lot of wheres in the house, but it was a phenomenal message that she shared. If you did not get to hear that, please get the CD. It will really help clarify and bring balance to your life. It does me every time she shares. So I encourage you to get that. You know, this morning, I want to say something about my husband of 44 years, that how much I love you. How much I do love you. He hates it when I do this because it embarrasses him, but you are my rock, and you are the reason I'm up here and able to share today, because I was am still very content just to be busy, and he pushed me to start speaking about 25 years ago, so he's the reason I'm up here, and I love you for that. Thank you, babe. Man. It's awesome to be in relationship with people who are not in competition with you, yeah? Oh, gosh, yeah. Anyway, so I want to share this morning about where am I, and we sang a song this morning about you make me brave. You call me out beyond the shore into the waves, and I just want to say welcome to CFTN. This isn't your normal church. It's not where it's just going to come and you're going to get goosebumps and chicken skin and go home and just feel like every life is perfect. It's not that way. This is a kingdom grooming church. It really is. So that's what I want to share about this morning, is being in the waves, being in the storm, being a survivor, and how to act and respond to the storm. So I want to, my background is out of the book of Acts, the 27th chapter. The story is about Paul, who was commissioned to go to Rome because Jerusalem, they wanted to kill him for the gospel's sake, and he appealed to Caesar, which got him a free ticket to Rome. And so I want to talk about his journey that he took. So many times when we get a word and we get a purpose and, oh, you're going to go and do exploits and you're going to go take this city, or you're going to go do this missions trip, or you're going to go into this company and transform it, we're just so thrilled when Pastor Mike gives us those goosebump words, right? And we just go out of here and we're singing, charge, until we get to the parking lot. And somebody's ran a key down the side of our car, or like a couple of weeks ago, car was stolen, I guess. A few things like that, a few waves, and all of a sudden we think, now wait a minute. I've just been given this great promise. No wars, no problems. I'm moving forward. And then all hell breaks loose. Well, I can promise you that that's part of the process, and that's what I want to share about this morning. Acts 27, verse 13. When a gentle southerly breeze came up, they weighed anchor, thinking it would be smooth sailing. This is Paul now starting on his journey by ship to Rome. But they were no sooner out to sea than a gale-force wind, the infamous nor'easter, struck. They lost all control of the ship. It was like a cork in the storm. Anybody relate to that besides Debbie Putnam? We came under the lee of the small island named Clauda and managed to get a lifeboat ready and reef the sails, but rocky shoals prevented us from getting close. We only managed to avoid them by throwing out drift anchors. The next day, out on the high seas again and badly damaged now by the storm, we dumped the cargo overboard. The third day, the sailors lightened the ship further by throwing off all the tackle and provisions. I just want to share with you, when a major trial either starts or you're in the middle of it, when trauma hits, all of a sudden we have this uncanny ability to set our priorities. All of a sudden, things that seemed so important to us before don't mean anything if it's going to sink our ship. Amen? So all of a sudden, you'll find yourself, when the waves start moving you back and forth, up and down, and it becomes so chaotic, the first thing you do is you start lightening your load. You start throwing stuff overboard. Whether it's inside of you, it's in your sphere of influence, but all of a sudden, we start prioritizing. We start thinking, man, I might need to forgive a few people. I might need to write a few letters, make a few phone calls. I might need to let go of a few material things that I've been hanging on to. This morning, I was privileged at the 9 o'clock service to open the Rewind class, and I believe I was told there was over 100 people that signed up for Rewind. I think that's awesome. There's 100 people that are going to start throwing stuff overboard and getting rid of things that might just sink their ship in the middle of a storm. Amen? It had been many days since we had seen either sun or star. Wind and waves were battering us unmercifully, and we lost all hope of rescue. How many of you right now would be so honest to say, I'm in the middle of a situation where I don't really see an end to it. I don't really know if there's a possibility of rescue. The rest of you are all lying. Amen? Let's raise your hands now. How many of you are in the middle of a situation, either physically, financially, relationally, in our jobs? Yes, all over this building. Well, you're the ones I'm talking to today. So the rest of you that don't have your hands up, you're not in a storm yet. I got a word for you. Yours is coming. Oh, yes, it is. Oh, yes, it is, because there's a great purpose in the storm. It just works out a lot of stuff in us. So here we go. We're still in the storm. Paul says, with our appetite for both food and life long gone, Paul took his place in our midst and said, friends, you really should have listened to me back in Crete. Don't you hate that when people say that? I told you not to take that job, buy that house, marry that person. You should have listened to me. We could have avoided all this trouble and trial, but there's no need to dwell on this now. I want to just stay there for just a moment, and I want to tell you that when you're in the middle of a storm and chaos and trials and situations that you do not have an answer for, that is not the time to say, I wonder who I need to blame for this storm. I wonder whose fault it is. If they hadn't have made me angry, I wouldn't have run over them with the car, and then I wouldn't be in jail for manslaughter today, right? So it must be all their fault. So they're the reason for my storm. Well, I can promise you, you're never going to move past your trial and your situation if we're in the blame game. That's like the number one faux pas. You cannot do that. You just say, Lord, I'm in this storm. You're with me. We're going to get through, and we're going to hang on, because that's all we can do. Paul said, from now on, things are looking up. Are you kidding me? They're still in the middle of the storm. I can assure you that there'll not be a single drowning among us. Although I can't say so much for the ship itself is doomed. And I thought, well, that's really interesting. How many times do we depend on our transportation, what transports us from one part of life to the next? How many times do we make that our sole source? And if that breaks, now we're in just a world of hurt and it's all over with. It's very interesting to me that God let the ship be destroyed, but he still got them to where they were going. So many of us have put our hope in the wrong things to get us from point A to point B. We put our hope in the wrong people, in the wrong ministry, in wrong churches, in wrong jobs, in wrong finances. And we think that's the only hope. That's what's going to get us to where we need to be. And what does God do? Boom, he comes in and destroys the one thing that we have our hope in. And he does it on purpose. Because guess what? He needs to be it. As Dr. Iverna says, we need to keep the main thing. Jesus is the main thing. Amen? Last night, God's angel stood at my side, Paul says. An angel of this God I serve saying to me, don't give up, Paul. That's what I'm telling you today. Don't give up. Do not give up. Do not give up. Turn to your neighbor and say, don't give up. He said, you're going to stand before Caesar yet, and everyone sailing with you is going to make it. When you understand who's in charge, there's nothing you can't get through. When you understand, there's a great shift coming from thinking we're in charge to understanding who's really in charge. And when that happens, look out. Look out. So, dear friends, take heart. I believe God will do exactly what he told me, but we're going to shipwreck on some island or another. Wait a minute. He just said, don't give up. Everything's going to be okay. The ship's going to break up, and we're going to shipwreck. That doesn't look to me like a good outcome. On the 14th night adrift, somewhere on the Adriatic Sea, at about midnight, the sailors sensed that we were approaching land. Sounding, they measured a depth of 120 feet, and shortly after that, 90. Afraid that we were about to run aground, they threw out four anchors and prayed for daylight. This is a key part to my message this morning to you. You need to get this if you don't get anything else. When you're in the middle of chaos, when you're in the middle of the tempest, of the storm, could be the worst storm of your life. It seems to me like after 44 years, they always get a little bit worse. Could be the very worst. The key to the whole situation is stop, drop your anchor, and wait for the light. The light being him. Stop, drop your anchor, and wait for the light. So many times when we get in the middle of chaos, in the middle of sickness, disease, cursing, betrayal, whatever it looks like, we get on a dead run. We go look for one word after another word after another word, one conference after another conference. We just run, and we drive everybody nuts because of our storm. I can save you a lot of work. Just stop, drop anchor, and wait for the light. Because I promise you he'll come. He will come. It's amazing when I've got a chair in my house. Everybody needs a chair. And when chaos breaks out, phone calls and texts don't quit coming, you can't fix anything that they're asking you to fix, not one thing. I run to my chair and I stop and I go, thank you, Jesus. It feels so wonderful just to stop and drop and wait for the light to come. He's got a solution for everything. I have one for nothing. I'm serious about that. Moving on here. Some of the sailors tried to jump ship. Don't you love it? Relationships getting a glitch. Family relationships. So we find out, oh my God, for heaven forbid, there's an addiction in the family. And everybody runs like a bunch of rats to the other side of the boat because they don't want anything to do with that person. They bail out on them. Or there might be mental illness, or there might be sickness or disease, or we find out they've gone bankrupt, or they robbed a bank. Whatever it is, we have a tendency to just run and to alienate ourselves from each other. When in fact, when chaos hits, that's when we need each other the most. That's when we need to stick together. That's when we can't live without each other, is when chaos hits. So some of the sailors tried to jump ship. They let down the lifeboat, pretending they were going to set out for more anchors from the bow. Paul saw through their guise and told the centurion and his soldiers that these sailors don't stay with the ship. Listen to this. We're all going down. So the soldiers cut the lines to the lifeboat and let it drift off. With dawn about to break, Paul called everyone together and proposed breakfast. This is the 14th day we've gone without food. Can you imagine? None of us has felt like eating, but I urge you to eat something now. You'll need strength for the rescue ahead. Now that's positive talking. You're going to be rescued, so you're going to need strength. I'm sure these guys thought, well, Paul must have some motorboat that's going to pull upside here and let us all jump in, and away we go. He's saying, no, you're going to need strength for the rescue ahead. You're going to come out of this without even a scratch. However, the ship is going to blow up. You're going to grab a piece of wood, and you're going to try to float to shore and swim for your life. He didn't tell them that part. But he said, eat. He broke bread and gave thanks to God, passed it around, and they all ate heartily, 276 of us. With the meal finished and everyone full, the ship was further lightened by dumping the grain overboard. I love Paul here because they were still in the storm. They probably had trouble even staying together during this short conversation. Because remember, they were up and down. They were bobbing like a cork on the ocean. It was dark. It was cold. It was miserable. But in the middle of this storm, Paul says, get up and do something. Let's get up. Let's eat. Let's act like we're going to be rescued here. It's amazing to me. At daybreak, no one recognized the land, but then they did notice a bay with a nice beach. They decided to try to run the ship on the beach. They cut the anchors. This sounds like a lot of our lives. Loosed the tiller, raised the sail, and ran before the wind toward the beach. But we didn't make it. Still far from shore, we hit a reef, and the ship began to break up. The soldiers were determined to kill the prisoners at that point, but because Paul had a purpose and a call and a promise that says you're going to Rome, everybody on the ship was saved. I want to tell you today, you're the reason that people in your circle, people in your life, people in your family, you're the reason they're still afloat. You're the reason they're still breathing because you've got a purpose. So they're lucky they're on your ship. It's interesting to me, and it says here at the end that everyone made it to shore safely. It's interesting to me that Paul was called to go to Rome, and in that day, that was the greatest city around. It was amazing. And it'd be like me today, and they called me and said, Pastor Debbie, we need you to go to the White House and give President Obama a message. Okay, I can do that. I'd like to give him a message. I'm not sure he'd listen. So I'm going to Washington, D.C., and I'm thinking, oh, my gosh, here comes the presidential plane. Here comes this entourage. Here comes the band. And Pastor Debbie is getting on a plane and flying into Washington State and be ushered into the presence of the President of the United States of America. Wow. But no, the Lord gives me a bicycle, and he says, I want you to ride a bike all the way to Washington, D.C., in the heat of the summer, and it'll take you several days, and then when you get there, I want you to give the message. And I'm thinking, excuse me, Lord, you've asked me to do a very important mission, and I'm going to go to the President of the United States. And when I get there, I'm going to look like a wreck. I'm going to smell like a wreck. I'm going to look homeless. Really? Are you kidding me? But that's exactly what Paul could have said when the Lord said, I'm going to send you to Rome. And now he's dragging himself up on the island of Malta with seaweed on him. You know, salt water is just nasty. It's just nasty. He's cold. He's pulling up. And he's trying to lead this whole group of people up with him. I'm more than a conqueror. I'm on my way to Rome. And they're thinking, yeah, really? Then to top it all off, he's getting firewood, and a snake, a venomous snake, attaches itself to his hand, and everybody thinks now he's going to die. So now he's shipwrecked, he's wet, he's smelly, he's snake-bitten, and he's on his way to Rome. I wonder how many of us would take that assignment. Instead of the good life, Paul suffered seasickness, abuse, threat, hunger, cold, shipwreck, snake-bitten, almost drowned. He could have said, but God, excuse me, I'm on my way to Rome. Where am I? Where am I? I'll tell you where he's at. He's right in the perfect middle of God's perfect will. Oh, yes, he is. Oh, yes, he is. Where are you this morning? You might be in a storm, but you're on a journey. The Bible says the steps of a good man or woman are ordered of the Lord. If we believe that, we have to celebrate whether we're in a storm or whether we're not in a storm, because either he's in charge or we are. Amen? God sent the winds and the storm, and it was designed to bring glory to him. Salvation of a crew, salvation of an island called Malta. See, Paul was on a mission that wherever he went, he dispersed the gospel of Jesus Christ at great sacrifice to himself, because his goal and his mission was the gospel. It was not his comfort. It was not his fame. It was not his recognition. If you're in a storm today, or a trial, or going into one, which you will, or on the downside of one, the best thing you can do is not rebuke it and not deny it. Just say, okay, so I'm in a storm. Y'all are looking at me funny, because that's completely contrary to name it and claim it. Second thing you can do is not blame anybody for your storm. And the third thing you can do is drop anchor and wait for the light. So some of you say, well, God doesn't put people in storms. Come on. Well, in Psalms 107:23, it says, some of you set sail on big ships. You put to sea to do business in faraway ports. Out at sea, you saw God in action. You saw his breathtaking ways with the ocean. With a word, he called up the wind, an ocean storm, towering waves. You shot high in the sky. Then the bottom dropped out. Am I talking to anybody here this morning? Your hearts were stuck in your throats. You were spun like a top. You reeled like a drunk. You didn't know which end was up. Then you called out to God in your desperate condition. He got you out in the nick of time. Oh, yes, he did. He quieted the wind down to a whisper, put a muzzle on all the big waves. As you were so glad when the storm died down, and he led you safely back to harbor. So thank God for his marvelous love, for his miracle mercy to the children he loves. I got news for you today. God is in charge of your storm. He is. God is in charge of your storm. The devil is not in charge of your storm. God is in charge of your storm. God can visit you in the middle of your storm, at the beginning and at the end. I love him for that. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. There's a key right there. Are you weak? Are you weary? Are you overwhelmed? You need to stop, drop anchor, and wait on the light. Because God will renew your strength this morning. You know, last week we had a tremendous storm. And I got a lesson out of this because I was working on this. And about midnight I heard crash, bang, boom. And I went out and I was in a cul-de-sac. And it was, of course, the night before garbage. And all through the street, there were garbage cans lined everywhere. All nice and neat. Until the wind began to blow. I looked out the window long enough, quick enough to see airborne, like about this high, just a solid line of garbage nonstop. Everything imagined, milk cartons, diapers, garbage bags, boxes. It was a hot mess. And the Lord said to me, when the wind blows, I'll expose a lot of things that you think are hidden. You see, that's one great purpose for the storm. Because when we're in the middle of it, as you're lightening your load, that's one thing you can say is, Lord, whatever is in me that you would like to take out, I give you permission. Blow, baby, blow. Yes, we do. The storm will challenge our endurance and our faith. Are we quitters? Nope. Whether it's cancer, financial, just lost in life. I meet people often who are just lost in life. No matter what the storm looks like, in the middle of it, you have to understand that God is in it with you, he's in charge of it, and there's a purpose. If you'll allow it to work its work in you, there's a purpose for it. The storm will increase your desire and your will to live. Have you seen people who are on their deathbed and they sit up and they say, I will live and I will not die, and I will declare the works of the Lord. I've seen people do that over and over and over. And guess what? They push through many, many, many times. So a storm will absolutely amp up our will and our passion to fight for life. You know, we all want the victory. We get saved and everything's wonderful, and we go, I got the victory. Yay, I got the victory. We go out in the parking lot and somebody's keyed our car or punched a tire or somebody's cussed us out on the way out, and ooh, all of a sudden. When you get past that, now you have the victory. You didn't have it before. You can't have a victory, cannot have a victory without a fight. And nobody wants to fight. It's no fun fighting. It's no fun having to deal with issues and our stuff. But if we don't do that, we can't walk out with a big V on our T-shirt. And that's what this is all about. I got some good news for you that I'm going to make a few points here about a storm or a trial. I love this one. This is from Patricia King that says, every trial or storm has a beginning, a startup date, and it has an end. Is that good news or what? So if you're in a storm today, God has picked the day of the month, the hour of the day, the minute of the day, and the second when he's going to push the stop button on that storm. I promise you. Because he's in charge of the storm. So if you're in the storm today, don't fret it. Understand, okay, I'm in the storm. It's blowing. I'm sick. I'm not happy. But at some point, this is going to end. And in the meantime, I'm going to learn out about what God wants me to learn. Storms are seasonal. Yes, they are. Storms are seasonal. Storms have a purpose. Storms can propel you to your destiny. I love that. If a storm hits and it blows hard enough, if you will just extend your arms out, it will begin to blow you into the direction that he's called you to blow. It will. He said, Lord, let the winds take me where I need to be. Sometimes it'll be a change of location. Sometimes it'll be a change of our relationships. Sometimes it'll be a change of our attitudes. But winds bring change. Storms bring change. I love it because storms clean up the air. Come out and the air smells so wonderful in Phoenix after the storm blows. You can have that ucky brown air and then all of a sudden a good rainstorm and it's just crystal clear. And you go out and you go, thank you for the storm. I may not have any trees left in my front yard, but thank you for the storm. Iverna just lost a gorgeous, huge half of an olive tree this last week in the storm, but they're telling us they might be able to keep it, so I'm praying for that. So storms do bring devastation, but they do bring change in a good way. Storms will cause you to lighten the load and get rid of things. There was not one wasted stop on Paul's journey, howbeit there were so many storms. Not one wasted stop. Everything, it drove him to where he needed to be. It drove him to the island of Malta. He wasn't intending on going to Malta. The storm took him there because there were a bunch of hungry people probably crying out for the real God to show up. It's amazing. God is not shocked 1 second during your shipwreck episode. He did not look at Paul out there on the ship, tossed around, everybody's sick, thinking they were dying. Day number 14, he goes, oh, I did not see that one coming. Shoot, I should have been on it more. No, he knew exactly what was coming. I'm sure they thought he had forgotten. How many of you think sometimes God doesn't even know where you're at or what you're going through? Yeah. But God's not surprised. Remember, it's his storm. It is his storm. God is raising up today a kingdom church that will be able to function in the middle of your storm. That's the whole purpose. How many of us want to be able to function in the middle of hell and high water, in the middle of every trial, just to keep moving forward, just to keep pressing in, keep being a blessing, keep pushing? That's what God's raising up today. Matthew 8, there's another storm I'm going to mention briefly. When Jesus and the disciples were on the lake and Jesus was asleep in the bottom of the boat. You know, the disciples getting in that boat thought, surely, you know, it's going to be a piece of cake. Jesus is in the boat with us. It's all good. And then Jesus is sound asleep, and all of a sudden, just like that, a tremendous storm came up where they feared for their life. They did not see that storm coming, but Jesus did. I think Jesus, under his breath, probably said, okay, bring it on. Let's wake these boys up. Let's shock him. Let's show him who's the boss of the wind and waves. See, we're never going to know who's in charge of the storm until we get in it. And then we realize through the whole movie how much God was in charge. You ever look back and say, I don't even know how I made it through that. And you just say, oh my goodness, that was God all the way through. That is God all the way through. So if we can get to the point to where we trust him, we can actually begin to celebrate in the middle of the storm, saying, well, God's got this. It's bumpy. It's dark. It's cold. I don't like this, but God's in charge of this, and I'm just going to ride it out. Just before they went out on the lake, Jesus said, hey, you boys ready to rough it? Literally, he said that. Yeah, Jesus, we'll go with you wherever. Okay, well, just trust me, he says. Verse 22, he says, okay, trust me now. Choose life. And they're like, yay, we're going with Jesus on a tour. We're going to choose life. Then the storm comes up and they nearly died. I'm sure by then they're thinking, what in the world? Jesus was trying to teach them a lesson. If I'm on board of your boat, you're all going to make it. But here's the kicker. There's still going to be a storm. Oh, it got really quiet. I didn't get applause for that one. Let's see, you're going to make it? Yay! There's going to be a storm. Boo! I don't blame you. It's no fun. If Jesus is on board, you're going to make it. We need to start looking at each other when we understand people are going through their worst moments. Hey, if Jesus is on board, you're going to make it. That's the whole point, right? We make it from point A to point B. We're going to make it. Looking back after over the last 44 years of ministry and travel, our first trip being going to Nicaragua, where we really did suffer hunger. We watched an orphanage. There was no food. It was third world. They were in the middle of a war. They had typhoid and malaria outbreaks. I actually was carrying BJ at the time, and I contracted malaria. Thought I was going to die. Literally, I did. And then watching, I survived. I made it to the other side, Pastor Wade. I made it. Come across the border of Mexico, fever broke, and I thought, I'm going to live. This is awesome. Didn't know if I was going to in the middle of it. That was my first trip. Fast forward 30 years, we're in Puerto Rico. We're doing our plaza ministry every Friday night. God faithfully called us to a group of 200 prostitutes and drug addicts, the worst of the worst, most of them HIV. It was a most HIV-infested plaza in all of the island. And so God just put a love in our heart. There's that assignment. You're going to Rome. If he puts something in your heart, let me tell you what, you can do anything to fill that assignment because God's put the passion in you the same time he's put the call. He doesn't do a call without a passion. So you don't mind how gross it gets, how dirty they are, what their needs are. You are there to passionately serve them whatever they need. So we're serving sandwiches on, I don't know, year number three, and the police came to us and they said, there's going to be a gang war tonight. There's a rumble, and they're going to come from both sides, and they're going to meet here in the plaza. We don't think it's a good idea that you eight white people are out in the middle of this plaza serving sandwiches tonight. So we get the team together, and Bob says, okay, guys, what do you think? Should we stay or should we go? And they all said, hey, this is our plaza. God gave us this plaza and this assignment. We're not leaving. So we decided to stay and keep fixing sandwiches, and I'm not going to tell you, I wasn't nervous. I thought, we're going to die. We are going to flip and die out here on the plaza. But the good news is, Pastor Dylan, the good news is that we're going to have our name written up and all the martyrs, Pastor Bob and Debbie, got killed by some gang people. Isn't that precious? So all this is going through my mind. And I hear them coming, and I thought, oh, dear Jesus. And I told them, don't make eye contact. Just keep singing and make sandwiches. So we kept singing, and we kept making sandwiches. I don't know how big the angel was they saw. I'm sure they saw something. But we looked up in time to see them running in both directions as fast as they could, opposite directions. Yes, we did. That was a moment I could have said, where am I? Help! And the Lord said, you're right in the middle of my perfect will. You're right where I've assigned you to be. Don't move because I'm in your boat. See, if we understand, I cannot say this enough, if we understand who's in here, out there really can't make too much difference to us. It just can't. Where are you this morning? You're probably right where he wants you. Well, it doesn't feel good. Doesn't look good. I've lost everything. Well, suck it up. We're going to get through it. We're absolutely going to get through it. It doesn't matter. God's called us. We're under his care. He's ordered our steps. We're in the right place at the right time. We're protected. We're loved. We're celebrated. Never judge yourself by your current circumstances. Somebody needs to get that this morning. You got to quit beating up on yourself. How did I get here? What did I do to deserve this? Nothing. You're in a storm. You're in a trial. If there's anything in you that needs to change, God will show that to you in the storm. A storm does not always mean that you're disobedient. Wow. Matter of fact, most of my storms have been right in the middle of obedience, Pastor Bonnie. And I'm thinking, really? Is this what I get? Thanks for the payoff here. Just because it's dark, confusing, overwhelming, might be that you're on your way to the right thing, the right time, and the right place. Celebrate the storm this morning, church. Rest and trust. As I promise you, you'll be contagious. You'll be the one to help other people in the middle of their storm and say, hey, it's a piece of cake. Been there, done that. You just trust. That's all you do. Just trust. You drop anchor, hold still, and wait for the light. Amen? I wonder if you could stand to your feet this morning, if our musicians could come. I want to spend a moment this morning just in agreement with you. It does not matter what your storm is today. I'm sure there's hundreds of different scenarios right now going on in this building. But it does not matter. It does not matter if you've had an assignment of death against you, if you've had an assignment of bankruptcy against you, if you've been cursed, if you've been cut off, if you're alone, it does not matter. He's in the boat with you, and he will ride out the storm with you. Amen? Wonder if our prayer team could come this morning. We're going to need lots of prayer team help this morning. And all we're going to do this morning is agree with you that in the midst of your storm, you're going to have peace, you're going to ride it out, and your trust level in Jesus is going to go off the charts. Amen? We're going to agree with you that your trust level is going to increase and that you're going to be able to ride out the storm. And when you're in the midst of it, you're going to be contagious to other people who are suffering the same things. So if that's you here this morning, I want you to come forward for prayer. Those of you who do not want to come forward for prayer, I encourage you to find someone next to you to agree with you in prayer, because God wants to comfort you in the middle of your storm. Amen? God wants to comfort you. He wants to bring peace, and he wants to bring you to a whole nother level of trust. Yes, all over this building.
Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness, the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, come to the altar, the Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, come to the altar, the Father's arms are open wide. Spot with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Come to the altar, the Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was spot with the precious blood of Jesus Christ.
down before Him, for He is Lord of all. Sing hallelujah, Christ is risen. Oh, what a Savior, and oh, what a Savior. Isn't He wonderful?
Isn't He wonderful?
Sing hallelujah, Christ is risen. Bow down before Him.
Bow down before Him. For He is Lord.
Sing
hallelujah, Christ is risen.
Oh, what a Savior.
Oh, what a Savior.
Was but